watch it over live stream. It was really a great conference. I'm really grateful for all that God did, and we've heard some good reports, and it was fun. If you did not get to come, I just encourage you to take advantage of the grace that we have in terms of it being recorded, and you can go back and listen to it, because I think it's really important. What I was tempted to do today, what I wanted to do, was something from Romans chapter 7. But then I realized that we're going to be doing Romans 7 this Wednesday night. It's probably going to take us 2 weeks to go through Romans 7. It's a game changer. It's a liberator. And I'm not just saying that to try to get you to come. Because here's the deal. I care if you come on Wednesday nights because I believe it's good for your soul. But it doesn't ruin my day if you don't come. I live under the dominion of grace, so I can't let that kind of thing happen to me. But as your pastor, as your brother, there's real value. Used to be, years ago, we did Sunday morning, Sunday night, which is sort of we did more charismatic stuff on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And so now we don't do the Sunday night thing. We're going to be doing that. Actually, is it today? Is it tonight? Full sale? Yeah, full sale. Okay. So tonight at 6 o'clock, is that right, Bracken, you know? Yeah, 6 o'clock, I just changed in midstream to the announcement. We have our full sale night. And the way we're doing this now is we do full sale prayer nights for 2 months in a row, and then the third month is full sale prophetic night. And so I'm sorry that I haven't gotten more information about that out to you. I need to kind of learn how to put that in somebody else's hands and do that kind of stuff. But with the conference and everything else, I've not even thought about it until just this moment. So we'll do a full sail prophetic night 4 times a year. But we'll just come together and soar like eagles and just speak the prophetic words that God's speaking and hear what God's saying. And we'll make sure we record them so that at least we have greater insight into what we're a prophetic church. We want to make sure we steward that well. So I really encourage you to come. So we do have something Sunday night a week, but I would just, again, this next 2 Wednesdays, again, if you're not a Wednesday nighter, I'd pray for you to come. Romans 7, maybe a chapter you've never understood. It's there because it's intended to set us free. It is so amazingly powerful in bringing liberation into your own Christian life. We did it one afternoon at the conference. It brings some clarity to some stuff as to what's going on, why you get tempted so much, what's going on when you get tempted. It's a powerful thing. So I just encourage you, if you have to go out of your way just to make it this week, come, okay? And the next 2 Wednesday nights. But when you've taught 7 times in 2 days, sometimes you're kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm counting on grace to give me something to share. And therefore, I'm going to talk some more about grace. I was literally counting on grace to give me something to share. I'm going to read a few verses to you, and then we'll just talk some. You want to pray for us, Dan? So these are some verses I want you to hear that connect grace and faith. This is verse 24 of Romans 3, being made righteous as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. This is verse 26, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of those who have faith in Christ Jesus. Let's see. In chapter 4, it's a couple ones. This is verse 4 of chapter 4. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor. In other words, you're trying to earn your spirituality, your righteousness before God. It is not credited as a favor. It's not got anything to do with grace, but it's what you're trying to believe. This is verse 14 of chapter 4. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. In other words, if those who are of self-effort, of self-sufficiency, if they inherit everything, then faith is made void because it's no longer a promise. It's something, again, you've earned as a wage. If it's something you get because you deserve it. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace. Grace and faith work together. I'm going to read these few little verses from Ephesians, then I'll put the iPad down. So let me just read this long sentence in Ephesians chapter 1. Where Paul never could put a period to. Because he was so blown away with what he was saying, he couldn't stop. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you walk under the dominion of grace, and you know you are, it always brings this measure of peace. Blessed be the God and Father. Now, don't you hear all this grace? It's all something. All this is about what God's done. You didn't add one thing to it other than believe. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, plural, with every, that means all of them, spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us, he chose you before you chose him. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to be full heirs through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Now hear this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in Christ with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. In him also, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. You know what he said earlier, we're at the praise, the glory of his grace. Grace, why is grace so important? Because it's the thing that brings him the most glory. Not your sincere, self-sufficient effort on his behalf. You would think that would bring him the most glory because you're offering him such sincere self-effort. That was the temptation in the garden. The Lord knows you're not going to die, he told Eve. The enemy said, look, if you'll just eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be full of wisdom and you can be like God. The temptation was to be godly without being dependent on the grace to do that. Who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of the glory of his grace. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come, this is God getting glory because of grace. Everybody listen. You may think you know this, but you don't. I don't. And I'm teaching it. I mean, I do, but I don't. Because the riches of Christ are unsearchable. Even when you were dead in your transgressions, he, by grace, made you alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. You've been raised up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness. kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You are going to be God's trophies of grace that give him glory throughout all of eternity. So, familiar passage. We've been quoting this a lot lately. What's the answer to sin? What's the answer to your sinning? What's the answer to people who are sinning around you that you're frustrated with? Get on them, tell them how terrible they are, and tell them they should try harder if they love God. No. People can't be changed by putting them back under the law. It's not that they don't need to know some consequences if they keep walking what they're walking, but you can't guilt them into it. You can't tell them to try harder. Commit your life to the Lord. They probably have done it 7 or 8 times. I mean, which one's going to take? He said, so you know the word sin means, literally, the Greek word means to miss the mark. Okay? To miss the mark of righteousness. A life that's acceptable to God. He said, for sin, for missing the mark, will no longer be your master. You don't have to keep missing the mark, for you are no longer under the curse of the law that says, do your best for Jesus. You are under grace. For missing the mark shall not be master over you, for you are not no longer under the dominion of the law, but you are under the dominion of grace. What is grace? The word grace just means gift. And from beginning to end, one of the emphases in this conference is, it's the emphasis of the Christian life, it's the emphasis of the Bible, is that from beginning in your lost condition to the rest of your Christian life, to having been saved, God has taken on the burden of your redemption and your Christian life as a free gift. You're under the dominion of grace. This is Romans chapter 6. Having said in verse 14 that the law, that sin is no longer your master, if you're no longer under the dominion of the law, because you're under the dominion of grace, the domain of grace. And he concludes this chapter, he says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, we share this with the lost and leading them to Christ. That's great. But this is written to Christians. And Paul's writing this to the largest church in the world that he had never visited. And when he started the letter to them, again, he said, I want to come to you because you need to hear the gospel. Isn't that an amazing thing that Christians need to hear the gospel? Because the good news is so good. The degree to which you are experiencing liberty, liberation, Christ-likeness, is the degree to which you've understood how good the good news is, this message of grace. Is to the degree that you've allowed him, by faith, to carry the burden of your Christian life. So this is what he says. It's a famous verse. For the wages of sin is spiritual death. You're trying to earn it. I'm not talking about your salvation. You're trying to earn your spirituality. You're doing the best you can to be the best Christian you can be. Because God loves that when we give our best. No. You don't remember that you were lost going to hell because you were doing the best you could? God came to set you free from the best you can do. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift. I've said this before. It always amazes me when he does that, like going, okay, Paul, if it's free, know it's a gift. You don't have to say it twice. Free gift. It's a gift, it's free. But the Holy Spirit feels it so important for us to understand this. He says, it's a free gift. And the free gift, the wages of sin is spiritual death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's just rehearse again, because this is really important until it becomes part of your DNA, part of the language, your heart language. That your eyes of your heart would be so open, you'd have such ears to hear, this will become part of your heart language. What is eternal life? He's not talking to lost people here. The wages of sin is death. The wages of you trying to hit the mark is spiritual death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in the person Christ Jesus and your union with that person. So this is familiar. I'm not going to read them all. Hang in there with me, because there's a point I want you to get. So everybody hanging in? I'll give you a clue about coming to church. Never come to church without the expectation that God's going to do something and change your life. Just stay home. I won't get mad at you. So I'm assuming that when you don't come to church, you're like going, I don't have any expectation God's going to change my life, so I'm going to stay at home. That's a joke. I know there are other reasons why you stay home or need to stay home. I have to stay home. Well, Chuck, all right, here. Now listen to the explanation of eternal life. What was from the beginning, what was heard, what we have seen, so this is something physical, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our hands and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested to us, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and manifested to us. Not eternal life as a message, but he calls Jesus the eternal life. Eternal life is a person. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and the witness is this, God has given us, past tense, the moment you became a Christian, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. So have you ever envied another Christian, maybe some famous Christian, maybe a Christian hero to you, and you said, I wish I had their life spiritually? You do. He who has the Son has eternal life. Yeah, but I know I'm going to go to heaven. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, life, like living the life, doing the stuff, signs and wonders, holiness as a miraculous thing happening in me, love as a supernatural deal going on, people getting healed, all that cool stuff, Christ-likeness. Hebrews chapter 6. We should do that music from Jeopardy. Na, 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 na. Well, I'm turning the page. Again, you have tasted the heavenly gift, and you've been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and you've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Oh, wow. So what is that about? Well, we have a taste of the powers of the age to come. Oh, wow, life in the kingdom of heaven without filters? I get to experience that? So the word eternal, remember what the word eternal means. It's the word aeon, and it simply means age. It's got nothing to do with chronology. Now for us, it'll last forever, but it's about defining a particular age that has certain characteristics to it, like the Bronze Age or the Industrial Age. That's really important to get this. quit thinking eternal life means I get to go to heaven. You all have eternal life. It's a person. It's the age to come kind of life that Jesus lives. In the here and now, through you, by him. Don't ever think of eternal life as, I'm going to get to go to heaven one day and it's going to be forever. You received eternal life, the age to come kind of life that carries all kind of powers with it. The age to come kind of life, you received that the moment you got saved. It was a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. The word gift there in Romans 6 is the word grace. And the grace gift of God that now every one of you carry is the age to come kind of life and all the powers of that. To live in holiness, to live a life of miraculous signs and wonders, Christ-likeness, the age to come kind of life that walks in victory over this or walks in victory over that. All of you carry the age to come kind of life lived in the here and now by him. That's the free gift because it's in him through us and through the life that we live. So having just established that again, listen to what it says in Romans chapter 5. Very familiar. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So the moment you became a Christian, the language here is you're now standing in grace. The free gift of God, the free ability of God, the free gift of God's ability to live the Christian life, to face this situation, to face that circumstance, to say no to that thing, to just appropriate grace by faith. Every step of the way, the free gift of God that's dealing with your situations and circumstances. You don't have to run around like a chicken with its head cut off trying to fix everything. God may tell you certain things to do, but you can do that with peace in your heart because God's just using your movement to help work out his grace. But we don't have to walk in fear and anxiety and manipulation and control or anger ever, ever, ever again. You are under the domain of grace, the free gift of God, taking on the burden of your life. More than that, the free gift of God of you experiencing the age to come kind of life lived out in you and through you in the here and now by Jesus. That means, as a free gift, Jesus is living this age to come kind of life in me that I'm participating in, and that's like my whole life becomes supernatural. Grace just kind of touches stuff, and things that turn out seem to be so terrible turn out to be different. There's like, even though he doesn't cause everything, he causes everything to work together for good because that's the age to come kind of life. Just miracles happen. Things turn out because grace is working. I don't have to sit in the back seat and go, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are they fixed yet? Are they going to change yet? I can just keep casting them on grace. I can keep trusting in grace. When temptation rises up in me, I can say, no, I died to this law set in my members, and by grace, his grace is sufficient. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Because grace is Jesus. The grace to live the Christian life is Jesus. The way this is going to get worked out is Jesus. Yeah, but this is going on in this person's life, in this person's life, and they're doing some stuff that's not really good, and there are going to be some terrible consequences. I understand. But grace is hounding them. Now, would we rather I not do stuff and it's going to turn out this way and that way? Yes. I'd rather fly first class every time. But in grace, the plane's heading in a certain direction. that situation ends up landing, it's going to end up landing in a place called grace. Grace is going to get it there. You can't fix it. So victory over sin is by grace. Loving other people is by grace. It's the age to come kind of life. Doesn't that sound inviting to you? To live in the here and now? Eternal life isn't about going to heaven one day. It's the fact that the one who lives the life of heaven, the age to come kind of life, is now sharing that life with you and you get to participate in it. And everything about you, what you do, everything about your job, the way you handle your job, all the circumstances in your life, the way you face every temptation, is under the domain of I can pray for things and pray into things and do all that, but I always pray into them knowing I'm under the domain of grace. That's under the domain of grace because it's part of my world, part of my life. And in the end, I'm going, Lord, my heart's broken. I'm crying for what this is going to happen. But you know what? My whole world is under the dominion of grace. You've taken the burden of my life. My whole life, my whole story is under the domain of grace. See, by faith, we have access to the grace in which we stand. Oh, so I've been standing in grace, but I access that grace. How? By grace, you're saved through faith. By grace, you have victory through faith. By grace, you can walk in peace in whatever's going on by faith. We have access to the grace in which we stand by faith. Started off with grace. I'm standing in grace. So what do I do with that? Believe, one step at a time. That is a free gift. He's taken on the burden of my victory. He's taken on the burden of my circumstances. And therefore, this verse that I love so much, Hebrews chapter 11, says this weird thing in Hebrews 11:6. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Oh, wow. That makes it simple. That clarifies some stuff. You mean God's not pleased with me because I sincerely did the best I could? He's not mad at you. But he came to liberate you from that. There was nothing you could do about your lostness. And there's nothing you could do about your fallenness now that you're saved. Those tendencies to give into this and to that. Your life is now hidden with Christ and God. Grace has taken over. You've been placed into his life and his story so that his life and his grace story may be your life and your grace story lived out through your life and your grace, your story. You with me? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what happened in the fall was we got bent. We talked about this in Sunday school. We got bent towards the creature, towards ourselves, towards others, towards circumstances, and they all intimidate us. They all tempt us to try to make it all work, force it all work. To maybe anxiety will push the needle a little bit. We were bent towards the creature. Haven't you figured out that it's not near as intimidating to pray for somebody with a headache as it is for somebody with 4-stage cancer? Because we're bent towards the situation. We're bent towards circumstances. We're bent towards individuals. And it just creates anxiety and fear and intimidation, sense of inadequacy. But he wants us to be bent towards grace. And I was sharing with him, I shared that this week, a man named T.F. Torrance said, as he got older in life, he said, I've been so mastered by grace, I don't have much time to be so self-conscious anymore. Because you're bent towards what he's doing as a free gift on my behalf. This age to come kind of life that impacts everything about the world around me, my world, my life story is now the age to come kind of life, the powers of the age to come kind of life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Every step of the way is in a disposition, an attitude of absolute, total abandonment and confidence in who he is, that what he's doing, not because I've earned it, because it's a free gift. See, if you get tempted by something and you blow it, and then you get up and you try to walk again, and there's a temptation, you're like going, I don't deserve victory. I've blown this so many times. It was never about what you deserved. There's not less grace because you blew it in the past. The age to come kind of life is still available to you in Christ. And so once again, in that moment, you thank him for the free gift of his ability to say no, for victory, to say yes to whatever. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but he who comes to God, and again, he's writing to believers, and the language there is in the present tense. So the language is, he who just comes again and again and again to God. Well, that's living by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but he who just comes again and again, who's bent towards God, not bent towards the creature, but bent towards the creator. He who keeps coming to God and believes that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What do you mean, seek him? Like, go off and pray a bunch? No. I'm bent towards grace. I'm seeking. I'm looking to you. My life is under the dominion of grace. And I can thank you for the grace that's covering this. I thank you for the grace of victory here. My grace is sufficient for you, it says. Not might be, could be, should be, would be. Stop begging God for grace. Stop asking God to give you grace for something. He's already given the grace for the something you're facing. Look to him, step by step. Believe that he says, he who comes to me, he who comes to God, again and again, and believes that he is. Now, he is third person of you are, or it starts off with I am, you are, he is. So in Paul, who I believe wrote Hebrews, said, he who comes to God and believes that he is again and again and again as a lifestyle. If Jesus was were quoting that verse, if Jesus had written that verse and talking about himself, he said, he who keeps coming to me and believing that I am. Wow. When they were in the boat and the boat looked like it was sinking, that's a pretty bad circumstance. Be easy to get bent towards the wind. Bent towards the circumstance, bent towards things aren't working out real well, bent towards yourself that I can't fix this. And Jesus is walking on the water, and Jesus said, I am. Do not be afraid. What is he saying? I'm in control here. Storm's not the story. I'm the story. Storm's not the bad character in this situation. I'm the bad character in this situation. I'm the one you should give attention to. I'm the baddest guy in town here, not the storm. I am. I'm present. I'm in control. I'm more than enough. I got this. Do you understand? And so faith is just step by step. Those of us who are under the dominion of grace, those of us who carry the age to come kind of life and the powers of the age to come kind of life, step by step, we come to him and we say, Lord, you are. He says, yes, I am. And you go, thanks. And it's not any more complicated than that. Even a little child could get that. But that makes sense, since only the little children, only we start thinking like a little child, do we get to investigate, explore the kingdom? You got some situation going on? Jesus says, Chuck, I am. I'm in control of this storm. And I go, yes, Lord, you are. Thanks. That's living by grace. He says to me, Chuck, I am, and it's a free gift to you. Can't earn it. things towards somebody who's hurt you or whatever, and Jesus is standing in the middle of that going, Chuck, I am. He's not just out here. He's in me. My whole world is under the domain of grace. And grace has a face, and that's Jesus. And so this rises up in me, and Jesus goes, Chuck, I am. I'm here. I'm big enough. I'm your victory. Yes, you are. Thanks. And you watch grace do its thing. Because it's the age to come kind of life. It's supernatural. Don't you want to live consciously that you're living the reality of the age to come kind of life in the here and now? Because that's the life that Jesus lives, and he's living that life through your entire story. It's grace. Yes? Isn't that better? That's better than living in fear or resentment or anger. Oh, it's better than demanding justice. See, if all we demand is justice, and our intention is not that this person changes and walks in the age to come kind of life themselves, the abundant life themselves, I just want you to pay for what you've done because that's fair. Well, you better not keep demanding God be fair with you. Because if you do, you're going to end up going to hell. Because that's the only fair thing. And it's, again, there's not boundaries. It's not that there aren't things that people are held accountable to. I understand that. But even all that's under grace. Amen? It's just a different way to live the life. It's amazing. The scripture this morning was, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, not just every now and then, or when you go to a conference or they're worshiping a certain song and the hair is standing on the back of your head, if you have hair on the back of your head. So, that's after seven sermons in 2 days word, so it's a grace word. But it's a life word. God's really wanting us to hear at this particular moment. For our understanding, this large room, remember he spoke to us on Mother's Day. He's wanting us to have a bigger vision of that large room, and that bigger vision first starts about who he is and how he behaves. And he's giving us a bigger vision of grace. That he's really invited you into a lot. You're standing in grace. You don't stand in a bucket that's endless. It's like a sea, a long bucket. You're standing in a sea of maple syrup, asking God to please give you some maple syrup. Just stay and say thanks. Okay. Lord, bless you. Thank you for your word. Cause it to bear 100-fold harvest in Jesus' name.